Last week we focused on the Great Commission, where Jesus told his disciples to go and minister to all nations, baptizing them and make disciples of them and teaching them. And we sort of addressed the question, how do you do that if you don't speak the language? How do you do that with a people group who don't have access to the word? And so Joanna and Mackenzie shared with us their work in translation in Laos from their base in Thailand with the Oita people. Today we shift focus to the Eugene part of that theme of in what ways do we minister, as Jesus described here, to those among us. We may not be able to provide some of those services to people in other countries, but how do we do that here in our community? And so it's our privilege to welcome Steve Buss with us this morning from New Hope Network to share a bit more of their work, their vision, their response to this commandment, and how we may be part of that. And so thank you, Steve, for being with us, and we look forward to your word this morning.
How many of you guys are going camping yet this summer? Few of you? Well, good. Yeah, that was a great memory. Certainly changed my life. Little do we know, right? Wow, really weird. My notes just did something they'd never done before. They all blacked out. How did that happen? Wow. Okay. Well, we're just going to trust the Lord and move forward. Anyway, it's great to be with you this morning. Before we get started and read the scripture and pray a little bit more, I want to acknowledge a wonderful relationship and partnership that I personally have received from being in fellowship with you all for about 30 years now. My wife and I, Patty, we moved to Eugene in 1994, and started ministry at Willamette Christian Center. I served there for 15 years on staff as a pastor. First 5 years, I was youth pastor. The last 10 years after that, I oversaw prayer, missions, local outreach, and Christian education at the church. Did that for 10 years. So 15 years at Willamette Christian Center. But here, with you all at Valley Covenant, when I was youth pastor, we did release time here with Churchill High School students. And so we utilized, partnered with you all, and did that. Then as the years went on, as you guys are aware of, you might not know the origin story, but Love for Lane County came through what we do with One Hope. And I'm going to share a little bit about One Hope. But what One Hope does is bring together pastors and Christian leaders to build relationships so that we can really love each other and we can be unified in Christ. And then that's the main thing that we do. And then from there, what should we do to partner together, right? And so one of the very first things that we decided to do long term, we all agreed that we wanted and this community needed a Love Inc. It's now become Love for Lane County. And so Roger was a huge and still is a huge part of Love for Lane County. And you all and Pastor Steve was a big part of that as well. So again, partnership throughout the years. With One Hope, we did a conference called City Advance. We had done it once at Willamette Christian Center, and then the next year, we just were looking for a different space, and we ended up doing that here. We did a two-day conference here, and there are people from all over the Northwest that gathered here, and this place was packed out. It was just such a wonderful facility. And again, partnership with you. Then another thing that we do with One Hope is something called Una Esperanza. And we bring Hispanic pastors together monthly. And Patty and I and others, we share a meal with these Hispanic pastors. And we build relationships and we pray. And Pastor Juan Manuel of the church that meets here on Sundays, he is a very active part of Una Esperanza, and so we move around to the different churches, but we've had many Una Esperanza meetings right here, and We've enjoyed wonderful Mexican food at those gatherings as well. So in a lot of ways, the space that you create, not just this physical structure, but representing and bringing the kingdom of heaven through Jesus, I've had the privilege of partnering with you all for many, many years. So thank you for having an open heart and an open arm to welcome those who are advancing the kingdom in our community. So it's been great to partner with you guys. And of course, really appreciate Pastor Steve and Beth Belinsky and relationship with them, and trusting for Jesus to provide the right next pastor as you guys journey forward. So today I want to spend a few minutes just sharing a little bit about One Hope on our way to the message about asking in Jesus' name, like I started with the children's sermon. What we do with One Hope, to give you context, One Hope, there's this term that's come up over the last few years. It's called a gospel movement or a city-reaching movement. And that's what One Hope is. And one way that you can think of our mission is the whole church taking the whole gospel to the whole community. How is that going to happen? How can the whole church, meaning every stream that is Jesus-focused, Jesus-following, and Bible-believing, how can every stream of Christian in that way, how can there be a measure of unity and love amongst the Jesus followers in a community that we would be the whole church? And then how do we take the whole gospel in word and in deed to our community? And then not just a little part of our community, the entire community. Every demographic, every square inch, if you will, every sector and sphere of our community. How can we cooperate with the Lord together to bring Jesus' good news to our neighbors where we live? So that's one way to think of what One Hope is. Let's go to the next. Oh, here, I'm going to try this. See what we get here today. 2, 3. Brian said sometimes it takes 5 seconds. Maybe it just takes me playing with it a little bit. All right, go ahead and go to the next slide. Looks like you guys are going to have the power for that. So our vision is to unite in Jesus, love our community. Oh, there we go. Now it's catching up. Unite in Jesus, love our community. And then Jeremiah 29:7 that Roger read earlier. Pursue the peace and transformation of our region. So really, our mission really aligns quite well with Jeremiah 29:7. I like the New Living Translation that you read. Work for the peace of the city where I've called you into exile, and pray to the Lord for it. So that's what we're doing with One Hope. We are seeking the peace. We are seeking the shalom, that comprehensive peace for our community. And we're praying for it. So I'm going to go on to that. I could spend the whole time on Jeremiah 29. All right, I hit it. There it goes. Okay, that was. Was that me or was that you? That was me, right? Did I just change that or did you change that? Was it you? Oh, okay. I thought it was me. Okay. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but just so that you understand, how does the body of Christ in a community unite? What functional ways can we come together? And so we've decided 3 ways. I don't know if you can see that. Number 1, together seek the Lord through worship and prayer. Number 2, together serve our community through partnerships. Number 3, share the gospel with our neighbors. So those are our 3 objectives. And under each of those objectives, we have initiatives to fulfill those. Okay, let's go to the next slide. I'll set that down. So we have several initiatives where we're seeking the Lord together. Pastors in our community gather together monthly to pray for one another and pray for our community. So there's 40 to 100 pastors who gather every single month to pray for each other in our community. Another thing that we do is we do an annual pastor and ministry leader prayer summit. And there's about 55 pastors and ministry leaders that gather for 3 days at Cannon Beach. We worship and pray together. building that relationship. How are we going to walk in unity? How are we going to walk in love? We have to make sure that's actually happening. Una Esperanza, which I mentioned, a monthly gathering of Hispanic pastors. We gather together, build relationship, and pray together. One church, one day. You all are a part of that. One church, one day. If you go to the next slide, please. Is a prayer effort where we have now, not 53, but 54 churches participating. And through One Church, One Day, every month we put out a prayer guide that has these 10 sectors on it. Education, government, business, healthcare, family, the arts, media, sports, police and fire, and the church. For each one of those sectors, we have what we call a strategic team. And it's made up of believers who work in that sector. So, for example, just on Friday, I met with three first responder leaders, and we talked about how should we pray for first responders in our community. And we come up with about four prayers, and that goes on a prayer guide. We meet with educators once a month. How should we pray for education in our community? And those educators inform us. We come up with prayer requests. And all of the sectors go on one prayer guide, and that one prayer guide goes to 54 congregations and on top of that, about 200 individuals, and we're praying together for our community. Now, the goal with One Church One Day is to literally pray 24/7. So some churches are taking a whole 24-hour period of time. Some churches are just getting the prayer guide and praying. Some churches are taking 12 hours a day where people are signing up for half-hour segments one day a month just to pray for our community. So I'm talking about how do the churches come together to function in unity? Well, we're going to seek the Lord through prayer, and this is one of the ways we do it. Now, we've been doing this by the grace of God for 9 years, 9 years together. And we have got currently 40 pages of documented answers to prayer and the ways that the Lord has responded. And I want to share with you just a couple of them in a little bit. All right, that's just going to be a little bit of a cliffhanger. Let's go to the next slide, please. The second category, I'm not going to spend as much time on all of these. So we're praying together. We also do community-wide worship 2 times a year. So that whole initiative, that whole objective of seeking the Lord together, that's how we're doing it. The second objective is we serve together. You all have been involved in Project Hope for so many years. I remember serving, you know, we've moved around a little bit, but when the event, the giveaway has happened over at Chavez Elementary, when we give away shoes and supplies, I remember you guys coming in with cookies, among other things. I know you did more than cookies, but you came with cookies, because I know, because I ate some cookies. So, I'm confessing. So, and then the work day. You guys have served with the work day throughout the years with Project Hope. But again, what One Hope does, we don't try to figure out things that the churches can do together. We bring leaders and God's people together. We pray, and then the Lord highlights things, and then collaboratively we decide that we do things. We're not trying to create ministries. We're cultivating love and unity amongst the saints so that we can function that way, so that it pleases the Lord and that it impacts our community. So then we serve together. So there's Project Hope, and then Project Hope has led to school partnerships. There's so many churches. There's over 40 churches that have some type of school partnership working in our community. Every child is an effort that has come about through the churches partnering together to come alongside the foster care system. Now, every child, Lane County, we made it its own 501c3. If you want to get involved in helping foster parents or becoming a foster parent, every child is a great tool for that. Cottages of Hope and Sheds of Hope. Sheds of Hope happened in response to the Holiday Farm Fire. We partnered with schools. We partnered with churches and businesses. And over a 2-year period of time, together, we funded and built 143 sheds to go on the properties of people who lost their homes in the fire. Sheds grew into Cottages of Hope. We took the plans for the sheds. We stretched them out. We partnered with Everyone Village right down the street. We partnered with an architectural firm. We changed the plans. We started building Cottages of Hope. And these cottages now are being put at Everyone Village. The schools jumped into that partnership as well. And now there's almost 30 cottages at Everyone Village And Everyone Village is a partnership. It's led by a pastor. And now Cottages of Hope and Everyone Village are working together to help people transition out of homelessness. This is how we are coming together to serve. And many of you guys do the Thanksgiving meal outreach as well, every Thanksgiving. And again, we're coming together to serve our community. All right, next slide, please. There's Project Hope. You guys are veterans of that. Next slide. Look at all those shoes and that face painting. And then the last objective that we partner with is we share the gospel together. We've done several things where we shared the gospel last year. It's actually not on that list, but a very spontaneous thing happened last September, and I think some of you guys were there. Did anyone go last September to an event at Matthew Knight Arena called Hear the Glory to hear Olympic athletes? Did you guys catch wind of that? Well, this is quite a story. And I won't go into all the details, but last year, through our friendship with the Australian female silver medalist in high jump, her name is Nicola Olieslagers. So Nicola and a handful of world-class athletes, right after the Prefontaine Classic last September, these athletes, out of their own dime, we helped raise money, but they paid for most of it. They wanted to rent Matthew Knight Arena. And there were 8 international athletes at Matthew Knight Arena who shared their testimonies and preached the gospel. And it came together because we were able to collaborate as churches. It came together right after Project Hope, and that was quite a challenge to have all that work done. But that happened. Then there's something called Overflow Hope. Go to the next slide, please. And we've been doing Overflow Hope for 2 years now. And this is a way we're sharing the gospel together. It involves billboards that have been across the city. Many of you hopefully have seen these billboards. They have Bible phrases on them. And at the bottom of the billboards, it has overflowhope.org and Overflow Hope with an Instagram logo directing people to social media. So the second part is we have videos. Right now, there are we've been doing this 2 years, there's 52 videos of people from local churches sharing their testimony about Jesus. And we have people from all different walks of life sharing how the gospel has totally transformed their life. So these videos go on social media, and then these videos also go on a website. So all the stories are on one website, and on that website we have the simple gospel written down. We have links to Bible Project and the Bible app. We have basic apologetics on that website. And then here's what's also beautiful. On that website, with all the stories and all this information, we have a linked list of local churches for people to go to. So this is a way that we've coordinated as churches are working together. How do we actually share the message of the gospel together? And so Overflow Hope is one of the ways that we've been doing that for the last 2 years. So I would invite you just to be aware of those. A lot of people have used Overflow Hope. If you're talking to somebody about Jesus, and if you want a reference point where people can go hear real stories of people from our community who have come to have faith in Christ, you can use that resource of Overflow Hope. The website is overflowhope.org. You can check us out on Instagram and on Facebook as well. Okay, so I've just given you a quick overview about One Hope. There's more things that we do, but that's the essence of it, all right? And the idea is that because Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, the only one who's taken care of sin, who's removed the barrier between us and God, the only one who's been raised from the dead, never to die again, because he's so great, we have an opportunity to be one in Christ and to share that message with our neighbors. You see, when God first created the church on the day of Pentecost, when the church was born, and then when you look at the New Testament, the word for church, ekklesia, that word predominantly is used in the context of all the believers in a city. There's the church that meets in houses. There's the church universal. There's the church of the Gentiles. But primarily in the New Testament, church, the church in Rome, the church in Colossae, the church in Philippi. When you're looking at the book of Revelation, right? Jesus is addressing the church in Philadelphia, right? The church in Laodicea and so forth. So one of the ways to think about what's happening like with One Hope is this, is that God is restoring the geographical integrity of the local church. I know that's kind of a mouthful. God is restoring the geographical integrity of the local church. So it's a good thing for us to have our healthy distinctives and traditions, okay? Because those are healthy things that have marked the church throughout the centuries. But our fences need to come down right about here so we can see each other and hug each other, right? And be in fellowship with one another. Because God's intention for the church is there's, by definition, there's one group of people in our community that are following Jesus. And they're in many congregations. There's one group of people in our community that are following Jesus. And they're in many congregations. And so somehow God is doing this kind of movement all around the world. Obviously, it's not happening in every city, but it's happening in many cities across the United States, in the Middle East, in Europe, around the world. This kind of effort is really, really gaining traction and bearing fruit. So thank you for praying. Thank you for supporting One Hope. Thank you for participating in Project Hope. And be encouraged that the King is on the move. Let's go to the next slide, please. All right, I'm going to refer to some answers to prayer. We're going to get there, some answers to prayer that we've seen in our community. But I want to spend a few moments going back to the scripture and focusing on praying in Jesus' name. Now, this is prayer 101. But in my relationship with the Lord, and as we've ministered amongst the churches, it is so healthy for us to refocus so that we can gain a fresh fire and foundation for our prayers. It's great to stand on two legs and have great focus when we pray. And when we focus on what Jesus says about praying in His name, we can get there. So that's what I want to bring here this morning. Next slide. So how do you know that God hears you? Yes, from the scripture. We are to believe the scripture, and so that is true. But the scripture informs us that we are to experience the truth of God hearing us. How do you personally know that God hears you? And I would submit to you, one of the ways we know God hears us is that He answers our prayers. Prayer. What is the purpose of prayer? I would say that the primary purpose of prayer is relationship. It's relationship with God and it's relationship with people. That's what prayer is. Every time we pray, we are relating. We are in relationship with God. And every time we pray, we're praying for someone else, right? Or praying for a situation that impacts someone else. So prayer is relationship, and God in His love and His mercy is inviting us through this wonderful grace of prayer to participate with Him, the Eternal One. He's inviting us to participate in the work that He wants to do by advancing His kingdom, by saying, if you will ask, I will answer. But I'm getting ahead of myself, so let's go to the next slide. Let's read. Now, we're going to read out of John 14, 15, and 16. We're going to be reading. This is all upper room discourse. At the very beginning of chapter 13, Judas takes off to go do what Judas is going to do in betraying Jesus. So in the upper room, out of this portion that we're going to read together, You've got Jesus and the 11. And Jesus is talking about several things in this upper room discourse, which is basically the middle of John 13 all the way to the end of John 17 is all upper room interaction. And so we're going to take a peek at portions of 14, 15, and 16. I tell you the truth, this is Jesus speaking. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Verse 13. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Let's go to the next slide. John 15. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Next slide. John 16. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. So here Jesus, kind of marbling, if you will, through his upper room dialogue with the 11, Jesus is bringing a brand new concept to the ears of the disciples. Now remember, he's about to go to the cross. He's about to go to the cross the next day. And he's teaching them to pray in his name. Very interesting. Let's go to the next slide. Next one. So he's saying, ask in my name. Ask in my name in chapter 14. Ask me for anything in my name. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. You ask in my name, ask for anything in my name. So he keeps repeating this concept of asking in his name. Now, what does it mean? I want us to ponder, what does it mean to ask in Jesus' name? And I think the clearest definition comes from Jesus himself in that passage in chapter 15. I think this is the best definition of what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. To me, that is living. That's abiding in the vine. That's what he's teaching in context there in chapter 15. That we are in him and he is in us. So if we remain in him, if we are current in our relationship with God, that our hearts are clean, we're pursuant of him, we're walking in humility and repentance and dependence upon following him, following his word, living in the spirit. If we're remaining in him and his words are remaining in us. In other words, do we have the word of Christ in our mind? Do we have the word of Christ and following what the Lord is saying? Are we abiding in his word by obeying it? So if we're in Christ, his words are in us and we are in him. To me, that's living in Jesus' name. And that's the best illustration of what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Because we're in this right relationship with God. And remember, that is the primary purpose of prayer. It's relationship. So what else does it mean when we pray in his name? You see, Jesus is giving us his name. So when we come to the Father in his name, we are actually getting an opportunity to represent to the Father what Jesus has done for us. You see, Jesus is the mediator. There's one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. And so Jesus did this work of intercession by standing and being crucified in the gap for us, that we could be forgiven and restored to the Father. So when we're coming to the Father in his name, we are literally presenting again to Yahweh, to the Father, Lord, I am basing my request on what Jesus has accomplished, not the greatness of my faith, not the greatness of the need, but I'm coming to you and I'm asking you to do something very specific in his name. So all of a sudden, our prayers become gospel focused. In other words, our prayers are based on the accomplished work of Jesus. And so it rightly puts our focus right back where it needs to be. So we're asking God to answer our prayer based on what Christ has done. Everyone agree with that? Can we go there? All right, let's go to the next slide. So when we pray in Jesus' name, we represent to the Father what Jesus has accomplished. And our prayers are focused and based upon what he's done. And that, for me, that just helps me just, man, I even want to pray more now all of a sudden. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Okay, next slide. Next slide. Let's keep on moving through here. Now, here's the next point. We get to ask for whatever and anything. How many of you like to ask for whatever and anything? Jesus makes it clear. He gives us this open invitation. And I will do whatever you ask. You may ask me for anything, and I will do it. Ask whatever you wish. My Father will give whatever you ask. Now remember context here. Praying in Jesus' name is when we are abiding in him and he is abiding in us and his word is abiding in us. Okay? In that context of relationship, ask whatever you wish. When you're walking with me, when you're in right relationship with me, you can ask me for anything. You can ask me for whatever. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Amen. Let's keep going. Next slide, please. Not only do we get to ask for whatever and anything, but God promises to answer. He says, I will do it. It will be given you. The Father will give and you will receive. So over and over again, he's saying, pray in my name. Over and over again, he's saying, you can ask anything and you can ask for whatever. In my name, and I'm going to answer your prayer. Let me say it like this. This is truth. It's God's will to answer your prayers. It is God's will to answer your prayers according to what Jesus says. When you're praying in this way, in his name, abiding in him, it is the will of God. Now, we're not going to have every single prayer that we've ever prayed. We're not going to see every single prayer that we pray. We're not going to see the manifestation of that. That's for sure. We do know that. But I want us to be focused and have the foundation on the words of Jesus when it comes to prayer. This is what Jesus teaches. Now, we can do a whole, you know, half-year series on prayer. And there's other things to look at in that place of prayer. But this is what Jesus is teaching to his disciples right before he is done, almost done with his earthly ministry. So this is our privilege. This is what we get to do in the place of prayer. Next slide, please. So ultimately, lastly, what is the result? We see a couple times in chapter 14 and 15 that the Son brings, whenever there's an answer to prayer, the Son brings glory to the Father. In chapter 15, he says, this is to my Father's glory in answer to prayer. So God, in every time that there's an answer, God receives glory. And then in chapter 16, Jesus says, ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. So when that result happens, when God answers, the Father receives glory, and we receive joy. We receive joy, and God receives glory. What an amazing kingdom we live in. What an amazing gift that God gives to us. He wants us in that kind of relationship. We get, as we pray, we get a space to, that literally our prayers glorify God, and we receive a joy that we can only get when that happens. And we get to receive it on this side of heaven and take it with us. This is what we get to do. This is what prayer is about, according to Jesus. How many want to participate in the divine nature? We want to participate in this stuff. This is what we get to do, and we get to do it now. And when we get to do it together in congregations, and then when we get to do it as saints who share a community, we get to see the glory of God in our community. And now I want to let you know of a few more answers to prayer in closing that have happened throughout our community as we've prayed together. The first one that I want to mention happened in the first year as the churches started to pray together. We meet with government leaders. That's one of the sectors that we consistently pray into. And at that time, we had the city manager of Eugene. We had a couple of Lane County commissioners who were on that. We would meet monthly to discern how to pray. That was the group. And we decided that we were going to pray for an effort in the city called Operation 365. It was a government effort. It was a partnership with St. Vincent de Paul. But we put that on the prayer guide. We prayed for Operation 365, and that was an effort to house homeless veterans in our community. And so we prayed for that for about 6 months. In about 3 months, we checked in with the numbers, and they were making some progress, and they had a goal to house 365 homeless veterans in a year. And we prayed, and we prayed, and we kept on praying. And at the end of the year, 404 homeless veterans were housed at the end of the year. It was like miraculous. And two of those government leaders who were on that team informing the prayers, they were the ones, they were also helping logistically, practically with Operation 365. And they knew with certainty that the hand of God had been released. Now, two of those leaders got invitations to the White House because of the work that happened with Operation 365. That's one of the answers to prayer. What an integration of church and state. Another that you may heard of, which was pretty dramatic, this had to do with our first responders. At the time, the fire chief was on our strategic team. That's the team that meets to inform the prayers for the first responders. And I woke one morning and I had a voicemail from him, and his voice sounded pretty rough. On the voicemail, he said, "Steve, in the middle of the night, our teams responded to a big house fire. And the house fire was so big and hot that the two houses next to it started on fire. And as our guys began the work, one of the neighbors from about 20 yards away opened fire with a shotgun. And a battle ensued. And then on the voicemail, his voice changed tone. And he said, "Steve, I'm calling to give glory to God, because not one of our firefighters were injured by bullets." He said, "I don't know how that happened, but I'm giving glory to God." You see, one of the ways that the church in our community is praying consistently for the safety and wisdom for our first responders. That prayer request has been on the prayer guide for 9 years straight. Because that's something we can always pray about and something that everyone can get behind. Amen? Right? We want to pray for the safety and the wisdom of our first responders. And the fire chief is giving me a call, the wee hours of the morning, giving this report. Fast forward 2 months later, the fire chief came to one of the community-wide worship events that we host, that brings together Christians from all the churches, and we worship and pray together. And the fire chief stood in front of community-wide worship people, and he gave glory to God, and he said the ballistics reported that there was over 400 buckshot that gunman fired from just over 20 yards. There was buckshot in firefighters' turnout gear. There was cracked helmets. One firefighter had a hole in his pants. And there was not one puncture wound. That is the miraculous hand of God intervening. If we had time this morning, I would be able to tell you multiple times the sheriff is on that strategic team. And he's reported several times in gunfights where someone should have been seriously hurt and the miraculous hand of God intervened. So that's happened multiple, many times in answer to prayer. Another thing that's been really strategic about One Church One Day is we've prayed together in these different sectors. We've prayed at times strategically for a changing of the guard in leadership. So we've prayed for a new U of O president, for example, in advance. We prayed for 7 months in advance of hiring Police Chief Skinner at the Eugene Police Department. So our government leaders, first responders are like, we need to pray about this. And so in advance, we're praying, God, you would be in the process, and God, you would be in the selection of our next chief of police. So that's the way that we've prayed for these positions of authority. God in the process, God in the selection. We're not asking for Christian people. We're asking for God to move and bring the ones that he thinks. And so throughout the years, we've prayed into that. And the way, again, that Chief Skinner ended up becoming the police chief, the testimonies from behind the scenes on how that happened, and there were these three larger groups of citizens from Eugene, three different specific groups that were set to interview and validate the process of selecting a new chief of police. And there were three top prospects. And each of these three groups unanimously agreed that it was going to be Chief Skinner. And the city manager at the time was blown away at the unity in those three different groups about selecting the chief of police. Now that's really important for our community, isn't it? What are we doing there? Together in Christ, we are working for the shalom, for the peace and prosperity. We are praying for the community in which we live, and therefore God is answering. God is glorified, and we get the joy. And our community gets impacted through Christ Jesus. So we are joining together to show the love of Christ as we pray together. And I want to encourage you that in our individual prayers for our loved ones, in our prayers for our businesses, for our families, for our neighbors, I want to encourage you. There are many times where we get to and have to persist in prayer. I'm still praying for my dad to come to know Jesus, and I've been praying for 40 years for that to happen. There are some stubborn facts, and that's one of the ways that Jesus, the New Testament encourages, and Jesus teaches us to pray persistently. The parable of the persistent widow, the friend at midnight who keeps on asking and boldly asking. We need to persist. I want to encourage you. Don't give up praying. Be encouraged as you pray for our community, as you pray for our nation, as we pray for the fires. Whatever it is, nothing is too big for God. Remember, Jesus invites us to ask for anything and to ask for whatever. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for sharing your love with us. Thank you, Lord, for inviting us into this relationship of prayer where you hear us and where we hear you. Thank you for the joy of answers to prayer. Thank you, Lord, that in some miraculous, small way, you receive glory when you answer our prayers. Father, I pray for everyone here that through a fresh grace of your Spirit, you would re-empower us, you would reinvigorate us in our prayers personally, in our prayers corporately, in our prayers for our community. Lord, reinvigorate us. Refresh us. And Father, I pray for Valley Covenant Church. Lord, I pray that the power and love of your Holy Spirit would continue to carry each individual member into fruitfulness in Christ. I pray, Lord, for the leadership team. God, that you would give them wisdom and grace to continue on the path that you have for them. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you would bring the next pastor to this people. Lord, that you would provide, that you would lead, that you would guide, that you would be in the process and selection of the next pastor for this people. And Lord, we thank you that we are in partnership together, that Valley Covenant is not alone, that we are not alone as individual believers. Lord, we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth, in our community, just like it is in heaven, in our lives, just like it is in heaven. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you've joined us online this morning, a special thanks. We trust that it's been a blessing to you. And again, the invitation is open to reach out to us through the church website if we can be of any assistance. Thank you for joining us. Steve, thank you for sharing afresh the vision. I want to remind you all that this last Friday was our day to pray for the community. And if you didn't receive that, please speak to Trudy, because we'll be trying to get that to you. But this was the One Church, One Day prayer guide for August. This last Friday, the community was depending on Valley Covenant to lift up the community in prayer and these needs Steve has described. I'll also say, if you go to the website, if I'm not mistaken, you'll see testimonies of answered prayer and be reminded of the impact of that effort. And for that, it's just a good thing to be in partnership. So, again, thank you, Steve, and blessings to Patty as well. Speaking of our hope unfurled, I got to say that I laid out the offer last week for the first person to identify 1 to 10, the 10 flags across the front. Get that list, date it, which countries they're from, and get that to Trudy. There's a special prize waiting for you. But so far, we've not received a correct entry. So offer's still there. Offer's still there. Take a picture and take it home if you need to, if you don't have a photographic memory. But that's your challenge. Well, I don't want to detract from what Steve said at all, but I want to extend it and say that we have gathered in God's name. We have heard the word. We have heard the word applied to us, but we're not done. Because our last task today is to respond, to go in action. And Steve has laid out a series of things that you can participate in to assist this effort throughout the community. As we close, hear these words from Jesus. As he had said, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. He continues to say, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So go and be his disciple. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.